In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. What I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. I didn't mean that particular with respect to the sermon which is about to follow. But I meant it really. Advent, wake up, is pretty much the basic theme of it. So we could say that repetitively and be on pretty solid ground. But I want to say a couple things more than just stay awake and let it go at that. I want to talk a little bit just about this season of Advent and why its lessons are so dire, the day of the Lord. We've been kind of hearing that in the lessons leading up to Advent, and now here we are. And of course, we understand, we're drawing in Advent on that old tradition of the Jewish day of the Lord, the day of reckoning, that day when things, accounts will be settled and things will be put right. But in a more distinctly Christian sense, we are anticipating, obviously, the birth of Jesus, the Feast of the Incarnation that is now merely weeks away. And so we are anticipating the light coming into the world and speaking to us with a human voice. In a sense, the light of Christ is everywhere in creation, but in Jesus it speaks to us with a human voice. And so we're, as we anticipate the arrival of the Christ, of course our thoughts turn to, well, what kind of a world is going to welcome him? What kind of a world is going to welcome the Christ? And we know two things about that story. We know that the Christ's presence among the powers of the world is generally unwelcome. For a world that is dedicated to self-interest and conflict, the Christ's presence among us that says, listen, you are all brothers and sisters, and you don't have to be afraid, and your needs will be taken care of so you can share freely with one another. Well, those are not welcome words to empire builders. That's to people, and again, the biblical vision of the world is that it tends towards self-interest. It tends towards selfishness. It tends toward deceit. And so into that world is the world that the Christ comes. And you know, right from the very beginning, that petulant king Herod, who wanted to kill the newborn king, pretty much that sets the tone for the life and ministry of Jesus. He was not a welcome presence. And yet, the other side of the day of the Lord that has been regarded with such terror, God is going to come vengeful or avenging. Think of the resurrection. The day of the Lord, for the Christian tradition, is the day where we are reckoned with. As the Father sent me, so I send you into the world. But it's a reckoning of love. Entirely of love. No condemnation, no retribution, no revenge, no scolding, no shame. Just, of course, you're human beings and you fail. You fail regularly and you get afraid and you get confused, but come back and stand up again and get going. As the Father sent me, so I send you. So that's kind of the sense. And remember that all the Gospels were written after Jerusalem had been destroyed. It's not to say ancient Israel is like the United States. Ancient Israel was not a global empire. But, I mean, we all know how the things that are at the center of our lives are really important. And the temple had been at the center of Jewish life for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And the Romans finally just got kind of irritated and just came in and said, enough with this Jerusalem. Whew, leveled it. And so the Gospels were written out of social cataclysm. Their world had been completely overturned. And so in addition to that history of the day of the Lord, you've got these very contemporary historical events. Our world just got leveled. Sets a tone. For us during Advent, a couple things I want to encourage us. The word that has come to me is the ache of the world. And I use that word in a fairly particular sense. I often use that word when I'm speaking of a work of art that I like a lot. Music or a novel or poetry. I say it has a deep ache in it. And by that I mean it sort of stands in that place of tension between the world as it is and the world as it might be. Or it embraces or shows a deep awareness of what we, in our tradition, would call Christ. That sense of love and truth and beauty, goodness, kindness. Where do you see that in the world? Where, in whose lives do you see that being pursued and partially realized? Where do you see it in your own personal life or in the life of your family or in the life of our town or our nation or the earth itself, the great earth, the community of people on the earth? And that ache when we are so stupid and so selfish and so short-sighted and we could be so much more. And we could be so much more. And we know that. We know that. And so we suffer. What Advent asks us to do is walk right into the middle of that ache for a world that is not completely different than it is, because Christ is everywhere in the world. But Christ is still a scorned presence, a neglected presence, a presence that is not thought to be quite as important as some other things. So the world is upside down. And this ache that I speak of, I think it's in the Gospels at any number of points. I think it's in the Beatitudes. Blessed are you who ache for justice. Blessed are you who ache for truth. Blessed are you who ache for kindness. Blessed are you when you allow yourself to ache. And so in this preparation for Christmas, you know, I mean, it's in many ways regarded as a joyful holiday. We all know it's kind of difficult. But as we anticipate that holiday, that holy day of Christ's coming into our human reality, as we look at that, it's a kind of joyful suffering that we are asked to endure. A suffering that puts us into that tension of the stupidity that often begins with me, but is everywhere around us, in tension with the profound beauty of creation itself and of us as human beings, and that old sense of why can we not live our lives by the light that has really been given to us, and be kind and not be so selfish and share with one another and renounce violence as a means of solving our problems. I mean, again, it brings into view what we call the kingdom of God. So that's kind of the journey of Advent. A couple more things. We're going to use a confession today that is basically very slightly paraphrased from the 58th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I've chosen that as a confession because, Advent is that sort of reflective, penitential season. But unlike some of our other confessions, it's very practical. And it reminds us that if we want our world to be better, there are some things that we can do that are right at hand. It's not rocket science. Stop lying to each other. Stop being unkind. Stop being selfish. Stop taking more than you need. Wait your turn. I mean, it's not rocket science. And what Isaiah says, if you stop doing these things and start doing things, the world around you is going to be better. And I think that's a good reminder. There are some things that we can do within our power that will actually make the world better for us and for others. So, and then, stay awake. Stay awake. And what Jesus means when he says this, I think he joins with so many other figures of great wisdom. It has to do with the present moment. It has to do with being right here, right now, alert to this moment of encounter. And, you know, when you say, you know, you don't know the day or the hour when what, we think of it usually in dire terms, when I'm going to die, when the world is going to end, when a nuclear war is going to break out. I mean, who knows what the sort of the images that you supply with that. Be alert because you don't know the day or the hour. But the simpler truth is you don't know what's going to happen ever. You never know what's going to happen. What's going to happen 15 minutes from now is, I mean, predictable to some degree, but really the deep living heart of it, you don't know. And so what Jesus is saying is not just a seasonal warning, stay awake in Advent. It's wake up and stay awake. Because if you don't, you're going to miss your life. And the Christian image for that, we borrow from the prodigal son, it's to be in the far country. The country of the past, the future, the place of anxiety, where we're distracted enough that the world goes by without our really noticing it. Don't do that, says Jesus. Wake up. Wake up, because you don't know what is going to happen in this moment. And what I promise you is that if you're alert and if you're attentive and if you're awake, you will discover that great gifts are lying all around. Treasures sprinkled over all creation. But you have to be alert enough to see them. And so, our spiritual discipline, the many, many dimensions of what it means to wake up, let those words kind of echo through the season. What I say to you, I say to all, stay awake.